Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know, there was once a five-year-old boy who was just beginning to play the piano because his mother was a lover of classical music and really wanted him to be able to be a star in this. So what she did to sort of bait the hook for him to make him want to become better and better, she bought tickets to see the great pianist Paderewski, the great Polish composer and pianist who was coming to town. And so when she took this young little boy to the concert, she saw some of her friends over there and began to have a great conversation with their waiting for the show to begin. She didn't realize that her son had walked away. Now, when the light started to come down, she looked around and her boy was nowhere to be found. So she began to search and search, and then her gaze was lifted up to the stage and she saw he was there seated on the pianist's bench, getting ready to tickle the ivory, playing the only song that he knew. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. She was horrified, and so she began to march up to the stage when Paderewski began to come out onto it at the same time, and she froze, petrified in her stance. Paderewski, what he did was he just walked up calmly behind the young boy and whispered in his ears as he was still playing this childish song. He said, "Don't stop. Keep playing, young man." And the little boy continued to play his little song. Paderewski reached his left arm around and began to pluck the bass notes one by one, adding to the song. And then after that, he decided he would reach his right arm around and play beautiful obligatos up and down the keys, making a beautiful rendition. In fact, the most beautiful rendition of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star you've ever heard in your life. They went on, and finally when they concluded, they stood up, and the whole of the people began to applaud and give them a standing ovation. It was so marvelous. He sent them back to his mother and began playing marvelous, marvelous, complicated tunes. Now, I tell you something. At the very end of that performance, there weren't too many people who could name a single song or remember a single one that the great Paderewski had performed. But each one of them was humming either aloud or within their hearts, "Twinkle, twinkle, little star." Now, why do I tell such a story? I tell such a story because this beautifully illustrates what happens within the hearts of us when we receive the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do with us in our lives? He gives us the gifts, right? He gives us marvelous gifts, not for ourselves, but for the upbuilding of His church. Each one of us has been granted these gifts, as that second reading that we have talks about from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Talks about all the spiritual gifts building up the body. But Pentecost, what we celebrate today, is actually the celebrating of Christ sending His Spirit into us to receive those gifts. And if we give those gifts which we have been given back to God, He can work marvelous miracles within our lives if we allow the Holy Spirit to reach His arms around us and to lead us and to guide us, to make the little simple things that we do even more beautiful. Even if the only song you can play with your life is Twinkle, Twinkle. Now, what I want to do is I want to look at the two passages that we have today, our gospel, but also our first reading, because there we see the two moments when the Holy Spirit is poured out. It's poured out in those two moments, one being the gospel, which shows the very first time when God sent His Holy Spirit into His people. That was right at Easter. It's the same reading that we have on Easter Sunday, which is, remember, the disciples are locking themselves behind closed door for fear of the Jews. They want to be safe. Jesus passes into their midst and He says what? "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." And then when He had said this, they tell us that Jesus breathed upon them, breathed His Spirit upon them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them." What this points out is that the first gift, the first outpouring of the Spirit is for what purpose? To forgive sins. To forgive sins. This representation which we have of our baptism, just like we talked about last week, is none other than the Paschal candle. This is the last Sunday that we get to have our Paschal candle here to remind us of that. The light which reminds us that the darkness is scattered in the presence of Christ. The darkness of sin and death. But what happens? What happens is that not only is the darkness scattered, but in baptism, we die with Christ when we are placed beneath those waters. And then what happens? We rise to new life in Christ, new life in the Spirit, new life with the Spirit living and moving within us. Baptism is when we get the Spirit for the first time. And baptism is that sacrament of which we associate with Easter, right? That's when we had those two young ladies, Savannah and Sienna, both of whom received the Spirit that day on the Easter vigil, receiving the infusion of Him in their lives. During the Easter season, what do we renew within our lives? We renew that baptismal promise to reject Satan and evil, to attest Christ, and to live for Him, professing our creed. Well, if these are the great things that we get from baptism, you might ask yourself, why do we even need a second outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Was the first one not good enough? Well, let me illustrate it for you in this way. Say that I wasn't your priest, but rather I was a cell phone salesman of some kind. I worked for Plateau or AT&T or something like that. So there I am, and you're coming in to get a new phone, and I'm telling you, hey, I'm a great salesman, so let me give you the best deal possible. Let me give you the greatest phone that there is. It'll give you crystal clear reception for anywhere that you go within the world. You can always hear the person who's speaking on the other line. You take it, you get it, and we transfer your contacts over, and what's the first thing you're going to do? You're going to call your loved one, right? And tell them what a great deal you got. You want to talk with them. You want to use the gift that you've been given. So they begin speaking with you. But when it comes for you to reply to something, they say they can't hear you. They can't hear anything. It's not receiving any of their calls. So what do? That's a problem, right? It's a problem if you can't say anything back. So you bring it back to me. You're going to say, hey, Father, you sold me a lemon. The cell phone that you gave me is no good. I want something. It's got a receiver, but it doesn't have a transmitter. Uh-huh. That's the thing. See, in baptism, we get the ability to receive the message of God. Receive Him. Be able to receive what He's trying to say us. We have an attentiveness to Him, an antenna. But we are not able to broadcast. We're not able to use those things to transmit God's message of His love, of His graces, without the Holy Spirit. Without being confirmed. That's what confirmation gives us. This ability to share His love, this movement. As we know, it makes us a soldier of Christ. It allows us to testify to His goodness. That's why we need the second outpouring of the Holy Spirit to be able to testify, to be His witnesses. At confirmation, that's what we're given, to be able to transmit His message of love, not just to receive it for ourselves, but to share it with others. You know, the gifts that we receive in our confirmation, when the Holy Spirit is poured out upon us, they're not about us. You don't receive those things for yourself, for your own upbuilding, but rather for the edification or the building up of the church. Just like that 5-year-old boy who was to play a song with his life, you and I are to play songs with our lives. Play the song with whatever it is that we have, even if it's something as simple as just twinkle, twinkle, little star. That's all we can pick out with our lives. The Holy Spirit wants to embrace us, to strengthen us, to use the things which we've been given to encourage not only ourselves, but to encourage those who are in the world, and so that they can see the love of God lived out in us. You know, graduates, that's what God wants to do with you in your lives. He wants to take those skills which you've built up throughout this whole time in your life, the studies that you've had, the various experience that you've had in sports and athletics, whatever it is that has come into you, and He wants to make use of those things. But you have to let Him do it. The Holy Spirit wants to wrap His arms around you and play with you to make whatever it is that you have so much greater than you could ever imagine. But you've got to let Him do it. You've got to let Him do it. You've got to be a transmitter of God's glory, not just somebody who receives His message. Now imagine this. Say that I had a glass and I poured milk in it, but I also had this really great Hershey's chocolate syrup and I put it in there. Now what would happen to the chocolate syrup when I put it in there? What happens to it? You ever done this? What was that, Kirsten? It sinks to the bottom. See, she's smart. That's why she's graduating. Okay? So it sinks to the bottom. Now, that's what happens. Now, think of this milk as your baptismal graces which have been poured into your lives. And then this chocolate syrup is the sweetness of a relationship with the Holy Spirit, the sweetness of God in your life, your confirmation. Now, what do I need to do in order to make it into chocolate milk? It's not chocolate milk yet, right? That's right, that's right. That's right. You got to stir that thing up. You got to stir up the Holy Spirit in your life. Otherwise, it's just going to remain there at the bottom unused. But it needs to permeate the whole of your being. You got to stir up the Holy Spirit within your life so that it's able to be used. Because the Holy Spirit wants to make evident within your life, young graduates, these gifts, those sevenfold gifts that were poured out upon you at your confirmation. The gift of wisdom. Wisdom so that you can go to the very heart of the matter. To be able to get to the heart of God's desires for you in your life. That's what wisdom will do. He wants to give you the gift of understanding so that you can go profoundly into the mysteries of our faith to live them out. He wants to give you that gift of knowledge so that you can see those steps which lead you step by step to heaven, which is what God made you for, to achieve that. But also to recognize those steps which lead you further and further away from Him, toward hell. He wants to give you that gift of counsel so that you can make right judgments in your life, choose between right and wrong, good and evil, better and best. He wants to give you that grace. He wants to give you the fortitude to have the courage to be able to stand firm for Him, especially amidst the passions of this world, the flesh, the devil, all these things which seek to throw you off the plan which God has set you upon in your life. You need counsel. But also the gift of piety. So that you can remain in a sense of prayerfulness, of intimacy with Jesus Christ throughout the fullness of your day, not just when you're here coming to Mass, not just when you're alone in your quiet time, but as you walk through your life. He wants to give you the grace of the fear of the Lord, which is this awe and wonder of who He is. Not a fear which causes you to cower, to run away from because God's going to smite you in some way for doing wrong, but a fear which actually makes you run toward Him headlong. Because you know how deeply He loves you and wants to upbuild you, to restore you to His friendship. A love which makes you fear to offend Him. Because you know how much it hurts when somebody who loves somebody offends them greatly. And you don't want to do that to the lover of your soul. These are the gifts which God wants to pour out upon you in your life. To make them active as you go forth into the world to do the great things which He's prepared for you in advance. But you've got to use the Holy Spirit. Now, the second outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, which we celebrate today, what does it do? It vivifies the church. It vivifies the church, makes it more alive because it has the Spirit of God. What happens? My first communicants know this. What happens if you have a body, but you remove the soul, the spirit from it? It's dead, right? That's right, Al. You remove the soul from it, it's dead. But it's the same thing with the church. The same thing with the church. If you have a church that does not have the Holy Spirit in it, it is dead. That's why God poured out His Holy Spirit upon the church at Pentecost to vivify it, to make it strong, to allow it to be who God has called it to be, to give it that vigor of life, which He really needs to do. We have to invoke the Holy Spirit, though. We have to call it up, stir it up within our lives. Now, how many of you pray to the Holy Spirit every day? Graduates, do you do that? You've got to pray to the Holy Spirit every day because behind your morning offering, which is your moment where you offer yourself to Jesus in the very morning, offer your day to Him, this is the second most important prayer you pray throughout the entirety of your day. Asking the Holy Spirit to transform them, to stir it up within your life so you can have these gifts active within your life. We have to do this. We have to do this over and over again in our lives because who is the Holy Spirit? We talk about Him as being the very breath of God. And God wants to breathe into you, to inspire you, to move deeper into His love, to give you breath and give you life. We talk about the Holy Spirit as that great dove, right? The dove. And He wants to be the dove of peace in the midst of the turmoils which you most definitely will face in the upcoming months and years in your life. You need Him. He is the wind. And just like the wind that blew through the upper room on that first day of Pentecost, He invisibly moves all things. He wants to invisibly move you to make you go in the directions which His Spirit knows is where you need to go in your life. He also is that great divine fire. And He wants to burn brightly within you, to light your path, to lead you, to guide you, to build up within you a courage and a faith in Him so that you can testify to God's truth no matter where it is that you go. especially in those secular classrooms where you will face great opposition. You need the fire of the Holy Spirit to be able to stand for Christ in the midst of that. You know, some of you may even recall that great woman, Corrie Ten Boom. Remember her? She was the great Dutch activist. She spent the time during the Nazi occupation of the Netherlands hiding Jews, she and her sister. But eventually they got caught. They got caught and were sent off to a concentration camp themselves. Her sister didn't make it. But Corrie Ten Boom, miraculously by the grace of God, did make it through. And so when the Nazi occupation was ended, she spent the rest of her life going throughout Europe, the United States, teaching, preaching, proclaiming the need for God's mercy within the world. She who has experienced the exact opposite, saying we need mercy in this world to bring healing, where the Nazis brought hate, division. So what she did was she'd go around and especially she'd speak to women. And you know, women in those days, in the early 1900s, that it wouldn't go out of the house without wearing these long gloves. That would go everywhere, right? And so what she would do, she would often show this image where she'd say, look at this. As she'd take off this glove and she'd say, watch this glove. This glove right here can do nothing by itself. But when I put this glove on, the glove can do everything that my hand can do. It can even pick up a pot of boiling hot water. See yourselves. See yourselves as a glove that must be placed upon the hand of the Holy Spirit. And when you allow yourself to be placed upon the Holy Spirit and let the fingers of the Holy Spirit fill each one of the fingers of you, the glove, then you can do amazing things. Amazing things beyond anything you can imagine for yourself, beyond your own capabilities. Even something as difficult as forgiving those who have hurt you. Even men who have harmed the world just like these Nazis have. We need mercy, and only by the Holy Spirit is that possible. You know, after one of her meetings, after one of her talks, she went about this. A man came up to her and approached her. And as he came close, she recognized him. He was one of the guards who had harmed her greatly in the concentration camps. When he put out his hand to come and speak to her, her hand instantly recoiled as though she wasn't even thinking about it. At that moment, what'd she do? She turned to the Holy Spirit and she prayed. She prayed because she knew she didn't have the courage to stand up and to embrace him or anything, even though she had just preached about this time and time again. After praying, what happened was something miraculous. Not only was she able to reach out and to grab his hand, but she was able to bring forgiveness and healing into his life, which in turn healed her and actually brought great healing to her city and to her family as well. All who saw that knew. Brothers and sisters, when we invoke the power of the Holy Spirit, something even beyond what you or I can imagine can happen. God's grace, God's mercy can be poured out into the world. And graduates, at what time in the world do we need more grace than now? What time do we need more the Holy Spirit than where you are going to go within your lives? Now, with the difficulties that we have here, if you feel that you can't forgive people because they've harmed you or hurt you in some way, if you feel that there's things within your life that are too difficult for you to grapple with at this moment, if you can't make good on those desires that you have to become a better Catholic, to become a better Christian, to follow him most assuredly with your life, you got to ask yourself the question, have you actually asked the Holy Spirit to help you with this? Have you prayed to him? Have you asked him consistently for it? We need him because each and every time you call upon the Holy Spirit, he answers. He always is the ready help. That's why he's called the Paraclete, our advocate, the one who walks side by side with us. But we can't have his help unless we ask for it. He's waiting for us to ask. That's why we need to pray like this, brothers and sisters. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit didst instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy his consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.